Donald Trump Jr., the American president's eldest son, has been suspended from tweeting for 12 hours after he posted a video discussing the benefits of hydroxychloroquine. This is the drug which is whose benefits as a treatment for the virus is bitterly opposed, said by some to be of no use whatsoever. Some, including President Trump, have suggested the drug works as a preventative measure against the virus, despite those medical studies saying, well, probably not, maybe exactly the opposite. Twitter said the post had violated its COVID-19 misinformation rules. A spokesman for Donald Trump Jr. said the move was proof that big tech is intent on killing free expression online and is, he said, another instance of them committing election interference to stifle Republican voices. Also today, Wiley's accounts on Facebook and Instagram have been taken down. The company said it was because he'd made a series of anti-Semitic posts. How far, then, should social media companies be the arbiters of what is and isn't acceptable discourse on their platforms? Let's talk to Silky Carlo, director of Big Brother Watch. Silky, good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good to have you on. I take it you are more than sceptical about the action that's been taken against the president's son.
Absolutely. And it's really not about the drug in question here. It's about the fact that big tech companies are positioning themselves as arbiters of truth. And that's always been misguided and harmful to freedom of expression. Let's bear in mind, it's a fundamental right that is at stake here. And I think in the context of evolving research and in the public health situation, it's patently absurd for big tech companies to position themselves as arbiters of truth. I also think it's going to be counterproductive because the first thing that people are going to do, as I did when I saw this story, is go and watch the video.
Yeah.
It was actually quite hard to find, but they will drive more viewers to the video. You know, you can't, in the age of the internet, you can't stifle free and open debate, and nor should you. Science is founded on exchange of ideas, on ideas being put to the test, and also on listening to doctors' experiences. And it's important to say that's what this video was. It was doctors giving their experiences of treating people with coronavirus. And I appreciate that may be controversial and not widely representative of what's really happening. I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but that's the whole point, that those voices should be listened to and examined in an open and free way. Not
but that
silenced.
argument, Silky, does suggest it's possible and it's okay to post anything online, whether it is true or demonstrably false, even harmful, because in this case, but it doesn't have to be this case, there's evidence of material information being posted online which is simply untrue, which is leading people to completely false conclusions, which could compromise health. In those circumstances, should not the platform which this is happening consider whether they're being used for harm and not good, and consider stepping in, as in this case? That's the argument.
You're absolutely right. No, I do believe people should be able to post what they want within the bounds of the law.
Within the bounds of what is true and what is false, what is harmful or not harmful? You wouldn't accept, or would you, that it would be okay for people to post messages of hate and harm, to incite harm against another individual or group of people, whether it's a racial group or whatever it happened to be? I mean, would you consider that part of free speech?
No, because what I just said is that we need to use the law, not this nebulous definition of harm. So if you're inciting harm against people, particularly minority groups, you're in breach of the law. And what's very, very frustrating about this is that big tech companies are rewriting the rules around freedom of expression. And that's why in doing so and taking this very censorious approach, they are posing an enormous threat to freedom of expression, because they're redefining what that fundamental right means. And they've adopted this elitist view that says that the public are incapable of critical analysis in the way that you and I expect are when we watch that video. We can see that some of the claims might be quite extreme and so on. And so by denying that people are capable of having any kind of critical analysis, they've paved the way for mass censorship. And here, in the case of Twitter, we're talking about a platform that hosts 330 million people. And that's why it poses an existential threat to freedom of expression, because we're talking about with one policy change, one rule change, and in this case, silencing doctors, you are having an impact on hundreds of millions of people. And the chilling effect is very serious as well, because by doing this kind of enforcement in what is undeniably, I think, probably quite a politically targeted way, people will look at Trump Jr., whichever public person it is, and say, well, if he can't even share a link to the views of doctors and their experiences, what can I say in the workplace or in the pub when it opens, or
you put your case perfectly clearly, but then I put it to you for the sake of this discussion, that if you are a broadcaster, you're required to abide by certain rules of fairness and impartiality, and there's a reason for that. If you're a newspaper and free to propagate certain views from whatever direction as you choose, there are still constraints on what you can print, aren't there? In the case of a platform on social media, there are no such constraints. And so for the platform to consider, we need to highlight that this is a questionable assertion, seems to be their version, the duty, as seen through the platform of social media, to offer viewers some kind and readers some kind of context to what they're reading on your platform.
Well, this comes down to what do the social media companies want to be? And when they first emerged, they were viewed as having this massive liberating effect because it was a free and open public forum where people could speak to each other, speak to power, speak to anyone like they never have done before. That's now fundamentally changed. Now they are taking more of an editorializing position. And I think that's the wrong route, because you end up with hundreds of millions of people having to fit into a certain kind of dogmatic set of views it's increasingly becoming. And so I don't think it's sustainable to have what is a public forum treated in this kind of a way where there are editorial standards. If I go down to the pub, I can say whatever I like to the next person and not expect to be fact-checked by someone, because that's the nature of public conversations. And you say sometimes things that you wish you'd put better or whatever.
But would you accept, Silky, that fake news is potentially harmful, and maybe those who consume or see or read or follow this material, they deserve some kind of defence, because how can people tell a lot of the time whether something is true or whether there's a grain of truth or whether there's none whatsoever?
I think the internet offers people a chance to fact check and look into information and explore information and attribute sources more than ever. The possibilities, the democratizing possibilities, are absolutely huge. I fundamentally object to the term fake news. I don't think it's helpful. I don't think it's helpful for journalists to use it. There's always been fact-checking. Now people are empowered to do that themselves online. So the idea that there are extra risk online, I think, is a very popular one, but not always founded. What is dangerous, though, is saying that doctors cannot share their experiences of treating a virus, and that public figures can't share links to doctors telling their experiences. That's sort of, I feel like we've really gone, you know, through the looking glass on this one.
Silky Colour, thanks for giving us your take on that story. That's Silky Colour from Big Brother Watch. This is Times Radio. It's 6:54.
Matt Chorley, tomorrow morning from 10 on Times Radio.
With Boris Johnson warning of the start of a second wave, we board a virtual plane to tour the world, because we can't get on a real one, to find out the state of coronavirus around the world.
Join Matt Chorley for a daily political debrief with a difference. Matt Chorley, tomorrow morning from 10 on Times Radio.